Good morning, good morning, rise and shine. Happy Sunday, and welcome to Weightless and Mind, Body, and Spirit with yours truly, Dr. Carol Penn. Our guest today is Kashal Rogers. Our show is Entrepreneurship, Resurrecting the Economic Heart of the Community. We are in our eighth season, and I am so excited to welcome you to this exciting 10-part series. Now on our eighth season, I can't believe it, eight seasons. This was a gift from the pandemic. And the show is presented by Penn Global Visions and my team of super friends, where we discover, explore, and talk about weight loss, weight management, maintaining that weight loss, aging in reverse, heart health, optimizing health and well-being in all areas. And today's episode addresses what we need to look at in entrepreneurship. I know so many of our guests, as well as our audience, has a toehold, some a foothold, some their whole body is in the entrepreneurship realm. And I also believe, and I like to look at and consider the health of a community. You know me, I'm doubly board certified, family medicine, obesity medicine, all those things. And I feel that part of individual health is directly tied to the health of our communities. So as always, I'm going to invite our wonderful audience to be interactive, to sit back, to come on in, to say hello. Make sure you put that in the chat. Get out your pens, your papers, and your notebooks. I'm old school, still like to write things down, and enjoy today's show. It's going to be a really special one. But for now, let's listen to our wonderful, wonderful theme music by Kenny Brazil Hamilton. And then when we come back, we will hear a word from our sponsor, and then we will get off into today's show. So let's go. Here we go with
Weightless, Weightless. No matter what people say, you're full of greatness, greatness. Time you opened up your eyes, you were courageous, courageous. If only they could see you going through your paces. It's amazing. Weightless. No matter what people say, you're full of greatness. Time you open up your eyes, you walk away. Just if only they could see it going through your paces. It's amazing. Weightless. No matter what people say, you're full of greatness. Time you opened up your eyes, you were courageous. If only they could see you going through your paces. It's amazing.
Whoa, well, welcome back and good morning. And we are going to bring on our sponsor. Come on in, Mr. D.M. Jones, to share with our guests this morning.
Good morning. This show, Weightless and Mind, Body, and Spirit, is brought to you by Mindset Mastery RX Weightless, a monthly membership program brought to you by Penn Global Visions. This program is designed to assist you with enhancing your well-being. It includes monthly instructional videos by Dr. Carol with homework assignments and a monthly group meeting. For more information, please send an email to info@drcarolpenn.com or to sign up. If I can move my mouse around here, you can go directly to our link below. But now back to Dr. Carol and her super friend guest, Kashal Rogers.
All right, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So check this out. You know me, what I like to do is I bring our guests on camera so you can kind of take them in, gaze upon their countenance while I share their biographical information. And so me, I love to see people blush sometimes as they, you know, listen to how magnificent they are to, you know, hear that. I love it when people feel seen, witnessed, and heard. And I can tell you, I am in awe of this guest. I am in awe of her. So I'm going to bring her on so you can see her beautiful smiling face while I share her biographical information. And go ahead, keep saying good morning in the chat. I'm so glad we see Dr. Pamela here, Dr. Cafe, Miss Victoria, Miss Carlon. So welcome, welcome. Don't be shy. And there she is. Kashal Rogers is an award-winning technology entrepreneur with over 25 years of experience. You hear that? Technology entrepreneur, solving the world's increasingly complex problems with computer science, systems thinking, and creative intelligence. Oh my goodness. So futuristic. I love it. I love it. I love it. As the founder and CEO of Time Study Incorporated, Kashal is the first Black woman in Virginia to raise millions in venture capital. Do you hear that? Entrepreneurs raise millions in venture capital to scale her tech startup. Headquartered in Virginia and New York City, Time Study offers a platform that uses artificial intelligence to help enterprises understand the impact of how their employees spend their time. Wouldn't we all like to know that? Time Study serves many of the largest health organizations in the United States. As an active and awarded technology leader, Kashal is featured in many national publications, including the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Entrepreneur, and Black Enterprise. In her commitment to diversity and entrepreneurship and STEM, she also serves as an advisor to organizations like Level Up Ventures, University of Florida's Center for the Arts, Migration and Entrepreneurship, Embodiology, and Virginia Commonwealth University's Department of Computer Science. Kashal grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia, and holds a BS in Computer Science from Virginia Commonwealth University. To learn more about her work, visit kashal.com. So welcome, welcome, welcome to Weightless in Mind, Body, and Spirit. We are so excited to have you here this morning. Ah, I'm super
excited.
Thank
you for having me. I've been really excited. I've been looking forward to this. So thanks.
Wonderful. You know, and for me, you know, these conversations. So let's just hop right to it. I'm so excited. I can't even finish my sentences. What's your origin story? Did you wake up one day and say, when I grow up, I'm going to be an entrepreneur? How do we get from little girl Kashal to founder and CEO of Time Study Inc.? What was that path? What was that trajectory?
Yeah, I don't recall wanting to be an entrepreneur. I had ability to want to be in charge. I was bossy. I was a bossy kid. But I knew that I wanted to be in computer science. I was really, at the time, you know, that was a really, like, computers were up and coming. So I'm old. I've been working for a long time. And I remember being really fascinated with computers and the impact that it has on society. So I knew that I wanted to study that. When I started my first company, it was, I refer to it as an escape plan. I was burned out. I was like running tech teams. At the time, I was living in DC and I was in charge of a research and development tech team. We built a lot of innovation products, and I was pregnant with my first kid. I wanted more control over my schedule. And so I actually started my own company out of that experience. And that company actually became the first customer that I ever had as an entrepreneur. So I started that, I guess it's been over 17 years. It's been a while. That company is still one of my customers. They've been a customer in three businesses that I've run. So I really prided myself on good relationships with, no matter whether I'm the entrepreneur or the vendor or the employee, I pride myself on great relationships. So I've been able to maintain that relationship for a while. But I actually started my entrepreneurial journey because I wanted more flexibility over my time. And at that stage in my life, I didn't have a lot of time to do everything that I was doing at work. Plus I had an infant. I ran my first company with my, she's in college now, but she was on my lap. I'm like breastfeeding her. I'm sending emails. That was my first experience as an entrepreneur. And I became actually a business person probably 3 years after I started my first business.
Oh my. So you became an entrepreneur 3 years after you started your first business. I hear sort of a subtle shift in there. So having a business does not necessarily make you an entrepreneur. Okay, here we go. We're going to drop in to the theme of our show, the overall, how we put things in the context of mind, body, and spirit. So to me, we're going to start with the mind.
Yeah.
What is the difference between having your, because a lot of us would think that if you have your own business, you are therefore an entrepreneur. What's the difference between having your own business and being an entrepreneur? What's some of the basic foundational mindset things that have to go on there?
Yeah, I think having your own business is a thing that you can do by filling out, you know, completing paperwork. You go to your county and the IRS, you get a number and you quote unquote have your own business. Becoming an entrepreneur requires vision. So having a vision for where you're trying to take the business is important. And I mentioned that, you know, initially it was more of an escape plan for me. I really needed more freedom and flexibility in my life. I did the same kind of work, but I really didn't think of having 100 customers or 1,000 customers. I just wanted to have control over my time. So I became an entrepreneur when I had a vision for the business long term. I became an entrepreneur when I understood the customer. So I selected my customer. Who is it that I want to serve? And how do I serve this customer? I think entrepreneurs also have a bias for action. So, you know, when you're in charge, you're in charge. So, you know, you come up with a lot of ideas, but someone has to act on those ideas. So an entrepreneur is a person that has a bias for action. And then I would say accountability is another thing, measuring the right things at the right time. So not just getting up, being in business, but measuring, are you growing in this business? Is this business healthy? Being resourceful. I could say a lot about tenacity as a mindset, like the resilience that's required to stay an entrepreneur. So you can become a business owner by registering a business. You become an entrepreneur by having a certain mindset that keeps you in business. And that's really the difference. So when I say I made the shift, I actually made the shift to the mindset required to stay in business. So I was in, you know, I was technically a business owner, but I wasn't an entrepreneur.
I love it. I love it. And what's really resonating in my mind is that the shift, a business owner is basically paperwork. You get yourself established, you're up, but the pathway into entrepreneurship is in vision.
Yeah.
What is your vision? So, you know, to be able to put that vision down, and how would you recommend people go about crafting their vision? So that's, you know, number one, that's the first thing you said. What is it necessary? What makes a vision? Define that for us, if you will.
Yeah, it's a sense of awareness, like about yourself and, you know, the value that you can offer to others, but also an awareness of other people's needs. I think great entrepreneurs see things. They see opportunities everywhere. So really fine-tuning your awareness is the first part of that process. Like when you're out doing what you do? Do you see opportunities to be an entrepreneur? And I noticed that really good entrepreneurs are constantly like, you know, what would be great is if we had a thing that did the thing and then we could sell it. Like, entrepreneurs are constantly thinking about how they can help people by looking at like broken systems or looking at gaps in services. So just fine tuning that helps you to develop a vision. I've spoken to a lot of people that want to be entrepreneurs, but they don't have a lot of great ideas or they don't have any ideas. And one of the things that I suggest is that you start journaling opportunities and ideas. Like, create an idea journal and just start writing down. Like, I was in the grocery store and I noticed a thing and I think it would be great to have a basket that does, and just keep doing that until you actually come up with an idea that is worth your time. And so at some point you'll say, I want to build that idea. Not every idea is worth your time, honestly, but you'll see the one that's worth your time. Like, you can feel it energetically. Like, I think I want to lean into this idea. And then that's how you actually fine tune the vision. And the vision is really thinking past tomorrow or the paperwork or the next day. The vision is, where do you want this to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? If you want, do you even want to stay in it that long? That's the vision. How long do you want to run this? Where do you want it to be in the future? And then you can build your way back from there.
I love that. And the other key thing that you're saying that's bubbling up for me is fine-tuning your awareness. See what others do not see.
Yes, you have to practice. It's like building a muscle, just like going to the gym. It requires practice. If you're not instinctively that type of person, then you actually have to practice every day seeing. What are you observing? Where are the opportunities? Where are your ideas? And for some people, it may be a blank page every day, but you just have to push yourself. I just want to write one thing down every day. And at some point, you'll build a muscle for that.
All right. We are getting a masterclass this morning. You all, do you hear me? This is a masterclass. This woman has done what so many of us who have aspirations to be in the entrepreneurship lane want to do. So listen up. She's done. You know, I say, be careful who you take advice from or who you listen. You need to peek behind door number three to look and see what's going on in their life before you get on the bandwagon of certain people. Well, you know, you can go on over to this young lady's website and you can check out. And again, you know, she's been in the business a long time. We got 25 years of proven experience, proven social commitment, social proof. So you really want to be listening up this morning. So we have the chat is alive this morning, and we even have people who have been fielding questions before the show, not on the chat, but this young lady is on, Dr. Pamela Major, and her question this morning are, what are the three most significant practices an entrepreneur should adopt to help them move in the direction of success? So we still in that mind piece. So what can you think of the three most important or significant? She used the word significant.
Yeah, practice. So one is a practice for recharging. That's number one. You have to have a place, a time. You have to know how you recharge, because it is a lot of work. So for me, it's during COVID, I actually adopted a 5 a.m. practice of actually meditating or working out every morning at 5 a.m. And I learned that it was really helpful for my mental health. I felt clearer. I was healthier. So that type of practice, making time for yourself, is important. And everyone should include that. Knowing your rhythm is important. I talk a lot about rhythms. Not everyone has the same rhythm. So, you know, you get a lot of advice from people, but that's based on where they are. And some people, you know, your rhythm may be to sort of hustle hard. Like, maybe that's your rhythm. For other people, maybe it's a little bit more balanced. Some people have iterations of push and then rest. Knowing your rhythms is another great practice. I can't say enough about support systems. I can't say enough about support systems. Who do you call when you need help? So you have employees, but you also need advisors, mentors. Are you going to have a board? Have they been where you're trying to go? How can they help? Because you need to be able to call people for help. So building that structure in place, and then foundations for growth. Like, if you're thinking about scaling a business, having the right foundation. So the paperwork is the easy part. The part that you have to spend time with is, do you have clear vision for where you're going? Do you know who your customers are? Do you actually know who they are and what they need? Have you talked? Do you talk to them on a regular basis? How do you make money? So that also needs to be very clear. How do you make $1? Like if I walked into your company today and said, show me how you make a dollar. Could you repeat that over and over again? Mm. It's another thing that we have to practice until we get it right. And then the right team, you can't underestimate having the right team on your side, because scaling a business doesn't happen in a bubble, and you're gonna need people. So do you have the ability to get the right team in place? And the last thing I would mention is success metrics. So at my company, we lead every staff meeting with metrics that matter, measurable goals. So we talk about where we were last time, which is a weekly meeting. Where are we today? And it's a way to keep everyone aligned on what is mattering, because sometimes the narrative of business could seem really exciting, but if you reduce it down to metrics that matter, you get a different picture of the health of the business. So I would say that's another practice. You have to push yourself to actually measure the things that matter.
Whoa. I love this. I love this. Again, the chat is blowing up because this is what people need to hear. This is what people need to hear. And there's one more question that I want to ask in this this mind piece, you know, weightless and mind, body, and spirit. And that is, again, you know, to hear this, could you share with us so people can hear this, the mindset once more, you know, maybe said in another way, the difference between the mindset of an employee, which so many of us were raised, get the good job. And we stumble when becoming entrepreneurs because we never make the shift into the mindset of the entrepreneur. So could you possibly draw a distinction for us between the mindset of the employee and the mindset of the entrepreneur?
Yeah. So it starts with the foundation is the vision and the metrics that are measuring whether you're moving in that direction. And an employee doesn't have to worry as much if those numbers are not moving in the right direction. An entrepreneur is up at night ensuring that these numbers are going in the right direction. And that really is the difference. When someone hires you as an employee, they generally hire you for a very specific thing in a very specific role. And sometimes we have executive level staff, but the buck is stopping with the person that is actually running that company. So when that company gets stuck, let's say there's not enough capital to hire new people, not enough runway, there's someone up at night trying to figure out how to make sure this business has what it needs to move forward. So an entrepreneur has a bias for that. And even if you're in a company, I've worked with employees that have very entrepreneurial ways of doing their work. They're entrepreneurs. So they run their side of my business like it's their business, because they know what I'm measuring, and they take responsibility for those numbers, accountability. And they are up at night saying, you know what, I think we need to move in this direction, really developing that. And so when you're an entrepreneur, again, the buck stops with you. What happens when the numbers don't move in the right direction? And they don't always move. There's 100% chance that you'll encounter failure in business. You're going to encounter, it's just a thing that happens. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen a lot, but it's a thing that happens. So an entrepreneur needs to be resilient and also have the ability to navigate failure at all times. How do you navigate when things aren't going well? And I think that's what makes the difference between the employee and the entrepreneur. Is an entrepreneur takes responsibility for that. An employee doesn't have to. They can get another job or go do something else. You can too, but you know, ultimately you're responsible in that business for that.
Wow. So the true entrepreneur is they're always casting the vision. They're always looking at the metrics. And that's the difference of doing kind of, you know, sit back, that passive. And I guess I hear what you're saying, that as you bring people into your organization, perhaps as an employee, you want them to take on the responsibility of caring and about and understanding the metrics, which is why perhaps you lead all of your weekly meetings start with
Start with metrics.
Start with the metrics.
They have to. It's not just because employees like narrative. We all like great stories. And even in a startup, like, you know, there's a whole industry that's teaching startup founders how to pitch their businesses and tell a great story. The problem with stories is that sometimes stories can hide the things that actually matter in a business, the thing that will keep you in business. So actually leading your meetings with those things, it keeps everyone on the same page about where we actually are. And then we can talk about all of the exciting things that happen during the week.
Yeah, I'm thinking of from the late, great Mary Kay, of course, you know, this is, yeah. You know, she's the makeup entrepreneur guru. Yeah. But she said, you know, nothing happens till a sale happens.
And nothing happens until a sale happens.
Sale happens, right. You know, how do you make a dollar? Let's twist it.
That sounds great, but did it close? Did the deal close? Did we have a new customer? Like, did we make the dollar or not?
Yes, yeah. Yes. I'm seeing one of our great concierge practice medical entrepreneurs, Dr. Sam Price has joined us this morning. Welcome from Michigan out there. And, you know, again, so this brings me to my other question. And again, we going to have to move to about talking about the body very momentarily. But when we look at what's happened in the world of medicine, all the corporate takeovers, corporate medicine, we know this is causing all kind of havoc with dissatisfaction with individual doctors. And is the day of the private practice, is it dead? Is there a place for concierge medicine? Because we see more and more patients are dissatisfied, more and more doctors are dissatisfied. And I know that Time Study looks at this and works with this. So, you know, how can we encourage all the many doctors that are watching this morning and, you know, have their toe in entrepreneurship with concierge practices or different kinds of programs?
Yeah, there's definitely a place for it. I know that the customer, the patient, what we hear a lot are people are looking for very individualized service that you can't, it's hard to get in a really large healthcare enterprise. So there's definitely a place for it. One of the things we measure is how time is spent, because I believe that how you spend your time dictates where you're going. And what we find is in these complex hospitals, there are a lot of doctors that are spending a lot of time on regulation, paperwork, and bureaucracy. And we're spending less and less time on the actual medical care. That's why the concierge services are really great, because you narrow your market, but you also give more care. So you can make more money that way, because you're spending more time doing the thing that you were trained to do. And so what we do is we collect a lot of data that would highlight areas that are actually trending in overhead. Where are we getting away from what matters? And I think everyone can do that, not just in healthcare, but if you look at how you spend your time, how much of your time is spent because that's where you intended to spend your time, and how much of it is because of some other obligation or something that you're doing that really doesn't move the needle on what matters. And so I know a lot of practitioners are looking for that type of control because they want to serve patients. You know, they don't want to do paperwork. They don't want to stand at the EHR for 10 minutes trying to log in and doing these things. They actually want to serve patients. And it's the hospital's job to actually create an environment. It's every CEO's job to create an environment for your employees to thrive. And that becomes more complicated on an enterprise level. And so that's why I actually created Time Study, is I actually noticed that in doing some other projects with healthcare, we would get these stories from doctors about why are we having to fill this out again? Why am I having to log into another system? Do you guys know we log into like 40 different applications a day and we're doing a thing? And I thought, that's crazy. That's insane to me that that's happening, and who's thinking about that? So this company is actually responsible for thinking about that and thinking of ways to actually free people up to do what's top of license to them. And we started with healthcare because we see a lot of value in that space.
Wow. My heart is just going pitter patter. All right. We could stay here forever, do a whole day on this.
Do a whole day on that. Yeah.
Yes. Let's move mind, body. So you tell this story about a picture that you saw of yourself. And if you could share that, and when you came to know that as an entrepreneur, what was going on in the body is vitally important to your success. And this is, in fact, part of our origin story, because we met through Dr. Amal Bray, who's been a guest on this show, and what she's doing with her company, Embodiology.
Yeah. I met Dr. Ray through the UN does the AI for Good conference every year. One of my investors introduced me to Dr. Ray. So that's how we met. And I started taking her embodiology classes after that. But where I discovered like the importance of the body. So I mentioned Time Studies, my third company. And I ran my first company for over 15 years. And, you know, as you continue to like do what you do, you take on a lot. And sometimes you don't realize how much responsibility, how many new people you have to think about, how much, like all of the things, you just kind of take them on. And over time, it's a gradual thing that can happen to an entrepreneur where they get in this sort of autopilot. And over time, what I noticed with me is I actually have pictures of myself, like as a young entrepreneur to like, you know, maybe the year five. And I noticed that my posture literally started to fold. And I saw this picture of myself, like a machine, like a cave person. I'm typing, but like all of this was just folded in. And I thought, why am I sitting like that? And it's just years of responsibility. I'm thinking and typing and thinking. And the more I'm thinking, the more I'm just folding over. And so I actually started Embodiology and some other practices because I actually had to train myself to pay attention to my body. I think the body is a signal as to what's going on in your life. And I hadn't been paying attention at all to my body. I'd spent so much time in go mode at work that I just don't pay attention to it. I mean, you know, I pay attention in ways that we have to, like we have to take baths and do our hair and be presentable when we go outside. But I wasn't paying attention to the signals that my body was giving me about how it was feeling, about what it was that I'm doing. And I noticed that I was taking on too much. That was my signal. So I had to spend some time actually putting a lot of things down so that I could actually reclaim my posture. It's kind of hard to sit upright when you're taking on a lot. And I think for a lot of people, they see it in their body. That's why embodiment practices are really important, especially for entrepreneurs.
Whoa, you are speaking my language so much, because, you know, this is a part of my life's work. Again, sort of like, you know, it's the nadir of, or the center of how and why we met, you know, partnering with like-minded people. You know, one of my taglines is movement is my medicine. So this is very, very personal for me. You know, it's like I came into this space very much tied to my body. I'm one of these kinesthetic learners. I learn when I manipulate things, when I'm doing, not so much from what I see and not necessarily at all from what I hear, but what I'm feeling in here. If I can touch it, if I can get inside of it and move it, there something else becomes available. Mm-hmm. And it has really been the thing that I've been teaching all of my life since I've had conscious memory with my first career as a professional dance artist and dance educator. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my dear brother, Frank Colon, world-renowned musician and percussionist, who is on with us this morning coming from Brazil. And, you know, and one of the deepest thinkers that I know in terms of this embodied piece, this musical piece. And you, earlier in today's show, you mentioned about understanding your rhythms. Yes. And I think that is fundamentally important to the entrepreneur, because, you know, what are your rhythms? Are you push, 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 or do you need to take a slower pace? Because what I see with a lot of entrepreneurs is the phenomenon of burnout, because they're simply out of rhythm.
Yeah, out of rhythm. And who sets your rhythm? That's another question. Why are you moving in this way? Sometimes we adopt someone else's rhythm and it's just not appropriate for us. And so some people have a hard time with their rhythm because that's not their rhythm. It's not their song. What I've noticed also about the body is how it really, really frees up you creatively. when you can open up the body. And another thing that I learned as a tech entrepreneur, we sit at computers a lot. We're in front of a machine a lot, and we have requirements gathering and so many things. You kind of learn to not move outside of boundaries. And even my body was like that. Like in Dr. Ray's class, I would notice that people that move would move, but I would be standing still a lot because I didn't move outside the boundaries enough. And that's a practice that can help you in business as well, because when you're thinking of how to pivot from an idea, you got to be able to move outside of the boundaries. So that's a physical representation of business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you can't do this,
you can't do this.
Yeah. How are you going to do this in business?
Yeah. You're like just frozen in the one place. When I first pitched Time Study, I was on this huge stage in this auditorium. And that was one piece of feedback that I've gotten. Now, I pitched this company hundreds of times since then. But my first probably 50 pitches were awful because I'm standing still on a stage, like, you know, like a robot reading facts, because I've been in tech. I'm all about the facts. So I'm just rattling off facts. And they were like, move around a little bit. And why should I move? Because in my work, we don't move. So I had to actually train myself to move more.
And because you didn't move, therefore, in those first 50 pitches,
I'm
you
not moving them. Exactly.
You did not move anybody else to join you.
Exactly.
You know, this is such fantastic information. I hope you all are hearing this and taking notes. If you want to move, you literally have to move. Exactly. You can't be locked, frozen. If you want to move others, you also have to bring movement into your pitches. There's some people out there probably saying, pitch? What's a pitch? Don't even know what a pitch is. But you hear this, she pitched her company hundreds of times. And she says the first 50 didn't move anybody because she didn't move. How are they going to be moved to join forces with you, to be inspired by you, if you are literally stuck frozen in time?
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a representation of what's going on in your business and in your life as a person that's leading that movement is really important.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So this is the body. You must take care of your body. You must move your body, you know, and I think this is, you know, I know this is the thread of what I do in my work, what Dr. S. Amare is doing in her work. Big shout out to the Center for Mind-Body Medicine, where I'm senior faculty. One of my colleagues and the associate clinical director of the Center for Mind-Body Medicine, Dr. Kathy Farah, is part of our audience this morning. And, you know, in our work there, nationally and internationally, movement is a huge part. It's a part of every group we run. It's a part of our foundational series of lectures, the intellectual property that we share, so people can understand this concept. Yeah. You must move the body.
We had movement at our staff retreat for the first time, our last staff retreat, and we'll have it again in our upcoming staff retreat. But it also creates a sense of it's more intimate as well. So when you're in a group with people and you have to work together on an idea, you need to be aligned. You're going to spend a lot of time with them, and people need to feel safe with their ideas. So moving together actually brings people closer, and it gives them the ability to be a lot more creative and communicate a lot better. So I can't say enough about it. I don't care what kind of business you're in, it's really important.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for this. We're going to take a little brief breather and pause. So if you're like me and you are enjoying this conversation, we don't want to interrupt the flow. So we're going to take a brief pause so we can get back into the programming. But for now, we're going to take a moment and I'm going to shift. And we're going to hear from our sponsors. Put on my little sponsorship hat here. So is Mr. DM going to come back on? There he is. Up, oh, you're on mute. Remember, that's the phrase.
We have to say it once.
If you're seeing this show, Weightless and Mind, Body, and Spirit live, know this show will immediately become a podcast wherever you stream podcasts, YouTube, Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. You know, we are now in season 8, and we encourage you to visit one of these podcast libraries to uncover what it means to truly be weightless in mind, body, and spirit. Now, back to Dr. Carol and her super friend guest, Keshaw Rogers.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We got people just dropping pearls in the chat. So, you know, thank you. Thank you, Frank, for sharing. Yeah, movement is life. Movement is life. Every aspect of the universe is vibrating, therefore in movement. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Golden nuggets, pearls, pearls, pearls. Whew. I am... As we begin to wrap up, we're going to step into spirit. We're also going to step into the title. I have some very, a question or two that I want to ask about our theme of entrepreneurship as far as resurrecting the economic heart of the community. Because I also know one of your passions is diversity, equity, and inclusion, not as a check the box, but really as lived experience and what you want to inspire in the world, right? So, but let's go into this spirit. Hey, Dr. Kina, good morning and welcome. Let's step into this spirit. When we look at, when we're pulling this all together, we've really been talking about the inner workings of what it means to be an entrepreneur, developing those muscles, muscle memory, you know, so you know, there's a different mindset, employee versus entrepreneur. Entrepreneur keeps in mind vision, is always casting vision, understands that metric matters, is always in those numbers. You're measuring what is measurable. And knowing what you know now, you know, you're different than you were when you started. Like you say, you started a company and it was 3 years before you became an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
What is the mindset of the optimized, successful entrepreneur that you have become that's different than, you know, what you started? So, you know, what do you want our audience most to know in this moment?
Yeah. So the foundational stuff that we've already mentioned, I mentioned being customer focused. So knowing, like, choosing your customer. So there are two ways. Some people don't choose their customer, they choose ideas. So you really have to focus on the people that are impacted by the idea that you're trying to place in the world. And a good way to optimize that is to talk to strangers, the strange customers. A lot of us will talk to our family and friends about our ideas and people that are safe. And most people will say, that is fantastic, I'm rooting for you. Because that's what we do, that's what we're supposed to do as friends. You may have a friend that's a little bit more critical, you know, but for the most part, that's a safe space. You have to actually take yourself out of a safe space and actually walk up to strangers. I did a project with the National Science Foundation on my second company. We were asked to talk to 100 strangers about what mattered to them without actually telling them what our idea was. And it was the most transformational experience for me as an entrepreneur, because I'm with these really bright people. I started this company with a computer science professor, and we were frozen. The first 25 people, it was so awkward to actually talk to the customers that we were trying to serve and not sell them what it was we were trying to do. And that's a shift, because that means that you actually want to learn what you need to learn in order to create an idea that matters to someone else other than you. So I would say that's an optimized entrepreneur, is someone that really understands that the idea and the solution matters more to the customer. So you should actually talk to them more. You don't know the answers. And a lot of us have an idea. It's not always the greatest out of the gate. Like, someone has to kick it around a little bit and give you some feedback. And that's where you want to place yourself at all times as an entrepreneur, is really learning how this thing that you put in the world impacts people, like, in real life. The second thing I mentioned, rhythm. I can't say enough about rhythm. Like, really being you have to really know your rhythm. And a good way to know that is to, when you feel great and you're working, pause and say, okay, I feel good today. Where am I? Who am I working with? What am I working on? What does it smell like in here? Am I standing? Am I sitting? Like, pay attention to how you feel when you work, because what you want to do is to optimize your whole environment for success. So if you work better standing up, you get a stand-up desk if you work better. Like some people, I know I have a friend that actually works in the park because she works better outside. And that may seem strange to people that love offices, but for her, that's how she flows, is outside in nature. So really recognizing where you are at your best self and just curating your entire existence around that. And that's why people become entrepreneurs as well, because a lot of corporations don't afford employees to be able to do that. You have to go into these offices and sit where you sit and do what it is you do the way that you do them. And I think that the future of work is changing, and COVID has taught us that people want some control over the environments that they work in. And I believe this is why, because people move differently, they flow differently creatively. So that's the second thing. I mentioned your support system. Like you cannot not have a support system. So, and it's reciprocal. It's not you just going to people when you need them. Like this is a community of people that nourish you and you nourish them in some way. And you want to identify who are these people. And it doesn't have to be a lot of people. It could be two people. It could be one person, really. It doesn't have to be a lot of people, but just identify where's the place that you recharge, where no one's asking you for anything. You don't have to have the answers. You're in this space and you're just saying, hey, this is what's going on with me. And these people can kind of point you in the right directions because they may not have the answers either.
Wow. I love what you said. I'm just sitting in the pocket for a moment. The optimized entrepreneur talks to strangers.
Yeah.
Talks to strangers. Because a lot of us, again, we talking to our mother, we talking to our sister, we asking our friends, we ended
up. So, and they can't even repeat what you do. Like, God bless, I love my people, but if I ask them what I do, and they're like, I don't know, she works on computers.
There's something with computers, right? Yeah.
Computers, I think. Like, they don't know what you do. They love you, though. But you need to talk to strangers, people that don't have a vested interest in you, so that they can give you feedback. And you have to listen. If you don't want to hear what other people say, then you shouldn't go in business.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And again, so the optimized entrepreneur talks to strangers to see if what they want to do, is it landing? Does it resonate?
And if it doesn't land and resonate,
chances are you're not going to know what you're not going to have any customers, no matter, you know, what the idea is, right?
Awareness. That's what movement has taught me too. Like the awareness of your space. Like when you talk to people and they give you, when they say something back, you're not just listening to their words. You're looking at their body. And like, you can talk to someone and they can say, yeah, that's a good idea. That loud sigh, like you hear everything. Like, yeah, I can see that working. And if you're the kind of entrepreneur that doesn't listen, that's one that I can see that working. But you ignore the, like, that part. What's that about? Like, you have to be that curious about feedback.
Wow. And then the other piece, what you said, you know, you keep coming back to this rhythms piece, this awareness piece. But being aware, you're having a great day. Stop. Mm-hmm. And notice what is great about it. What are the colors? What are you smelling? What are you touching? When you look around, why is this great? And then recreating this as your optimized workspace environment.
Yes. Pay attention.
Key for the optimized entrepreneur. You know, how are you, in other words, how are you setting your table?
Yes, that's exactly it. I love that. That's it. Yeah.
Set your table.
You can change. People change. So maybe over time that table doesn't work for you, but set your table. Always set your table.
Wow. And that starts, you know, so recently I was talking about, you know, optimizing sleep. And one of the things I said, a good night's sleep begins the minute you wake up.
Yes.
So you're preparing for that deep rest. A good work day for an entrepreneur starts the minute that you wake up. Mm-hmm. How are you preparing so that at the end of the day, you look back and you say you have more, this was a good day or this was a great day versus this was a so-so or a not so okay day. So in your awareness and in your intentionality, I'm getting excited here. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I'm getting, because these are powerful golden nuggets. We have made the journey today from the employee mindset to the entrepreneurial mindset. And now we're here talking spiritually, the optimized entrepreneurial mindset. All right. So beautiful. So beautiful. And is, you know, is there anything else that you would want to infuse or say or flavor about setting this table that really, you know, what anchors you spiritually?
I think it's the practice. I mentioned that I wake up now. I used to be a night owl. And I thought that I was a night owl, but I was a night owl because no one else was up. Like that was the only time of day I could get quiet. And so when COVID happened, I realized, you know, I'm not necessarily a night owl. I just need quiet time. That's it. It doesn't have to be late at night. So for me, getting up really early is how I set the tone for my day. I can't say enough about that to people. Like it doesn't matter what you're doing. I happen to work out in the morning. You could be doing meditation. You could sit outside. I've done that as well. But set the day every day, because not every day is going to be like a great day. There are businesses, you know, there are peaks and valleys that you have to navigate. So you have to set your tone and find these spaces where you can recharge. And also, I can't say enough about success metrics. You must know what is important for me to measure, because there are a lot of great ideas. There's no absence of great ideas in the world. The issue is execution of those ideas. Like, how do you take this idea and get it into someone's hands? Developing a rhythm for taking an idea and getting it into someone's hands, and then actually measuring whether or not the health of the business is growing, or if you're sustaining it. Because there are a lot of people that aren't in business, not because they're not smart, not because their idea wasn't great, but because they don't have enough gas. There's not enough gas to keep them going. And sometimes gas is money. Sometimes gas is people. Gas could be your time. It could be your energy. But you've run out of gas and you go out of business that way. And so that's why you have to measure metrics at all times, because you need to stay in business. If you're not in business, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not going to stay in business. So measure what matters at all times. Yeah.
I am, you have known, if you see me looking down, it's because I'm taking notes. I've, you know, invited our audience.
Even the zeros. Like, I know a lot of people that start out and they may not have a customer yet. Always measure it. If you have to look at that zero from week to week to week, then your energy needs to be around, why is this a zero? What can we do to change this? How can we get to someone here before we get them there? Like, it changes what you focus on. If you're not measuring anything, then you may decide to spend time on the product or something else that really doesn't matter if you can't actually get a person to answer your call. So that's why you really need to measure the things that matters, because you need to know where to spend your energy.
So beautifully said. Hashtag rinse, repeat. Can't say, you know, I'm hoping our team is taking this in. I'm hoping everybody out there is taking this in. This is so critically important. The numbers matter. You're not in a business if you're not measuring. If you can't say, how do we make this dollar? What are our numbers? Who are we reaching? Who is our customer? This is the PhD level, people. This is the PhD level. So let's take in the time that we have left, I just want to take a moment to drop into again, these powerful ideas. How does one reclaim a community? So entrepreneurship, reclaiming or resurrecting the economic heart of the community. In the community where I live, at one time, we had a thriving African-American middle class. There was a corridor of teachers, doctors, dentists, lawyers. I knew what I could be because I could see it.
See it, yeah. Yeah.
I could see it. You know, we have this wonderful campaign. If you could be her, if you could see her, and so see her and be her. Well, you know, that has disappeared. And, you know, these corporations coming in, they're buying up these properties and selling them for a million. How does one restore a lost community? What can one, because the skeleton is still there. It's probably still salvageable. What can you share with our audience who wants to engage in that?
Yeah, I think you have to be deliberate about, like, service providers. You can start there. So if you're a business person or just a person, you're using certain businesses to, like, shop or to get your hair done. Be very deliberate about who you do business with and start to build a relationship with the people that you do business with. That's how these networks and these communities actually thrive. So if you live in a neighborhood and there's a dry cleaner in your neighborhood, but you drive like 100 blocks away from that dry cleaner, don't be surprised when they go out of business because no one's actually building a relationship. If their service is not great, give your people feedback. You know, like it's, hey, I really want to do business with you here. It would be great if this and that are happening. And that's how you really start to feed these communities that you want to create. You have to actually start connecting first. And then once you've connected, like I've done that in some really deliberate ways, sometimes you're not aligned. Honestly, like you may connect with someone on that level and it's like, this is not the best fit. But the communication part, I can't say enough about being in a space safe enough for someone to give you some really good feedback. And if you're in a safe space where someone's like, hey, I'm a customer. Hey, I want to give you some feedback. If they give you that feedback and you don't listen, you know, then what can you say? You move on to the next person in the community. But I'm very deliberate about that because I believe that entrepreneurship is the future. I really think so. And entrepreneurship isn't always like, you know, creating the next Google or the next Netflix. Sometimes entrepreneurship is creating a beauty salon for Black women where they can get an appointment and be in and out at a certain time with quality service. Like that's entrepreneurship also. And it's very well needed in communities. So someone has to be thinking about the things that keeps our communities together as well.
Wow, wow, wow. I am really looking forward to what's next. I have really been fed today. Looking at the chat, it seems that many who participated today have also been fed. And this show, it has really moved me because I so believe that entrepreneurship, resurrecting the economic heart of the community, is critical to future. It's critical not only to, you know, I'm a family practice doc, so I'm always thinking about what's the health not only of the individual, but also the health of the community. And I believe the two are tied together.
They are. They definitely are.
Yeah. So how is it that we can all thrive together? That is what I'm interested in from the diversity perspective, the inclusivity perspective. You know, we want to, you know, really be intentional about creating the spaces and communities that we want to live in, that we want to grow old in.
Exactly. Be so intentional about it. If you don't like what you see around your community, be intentional about creating it. Create the experience that you want. Build your own world.
Yeah. So I think the pandemic has given us this opportunity.
Yep.
As awful as it was, as challenging as it remains, we have an opportunity now to dismantle some systems that were not working and also to grow some systems that can be the future that supports most of us most of the time. So I'm excited to be in your camp, to know you. I want to remind everyone to join us next week where we will have Dr. Nosheen Ranjbar, who is an integrative psychiatrist, and we will be talking about you know, what that, again, mind, body, and spirit, right? So what do we need to be weightless in mind, body, and spirit? We're going to explore the world of integrative psychology and really be able to build that piece because that really piggybacks on what we've been talking about today, you know, so that mind, body, and spirit of the entrepreneur, cultivating the mindset to be optimized in health and well-being. This brings us to an end of today's show. I'm going to invite our fantastic guests to join us in the green room for a few minutes, and we are going to let Kenny Brazil Hamilton play us out in our fabulous, 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 wonderful theme song of Weightless in Mind, Body, and Spirit. Yes, thank you, Dr. Kina. Thank you, Victoria. So learning how to pivot, one of our fabulous entrepreneurs who's watching today's show. So long. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Play us out.
Weightless, weightless. No matter what people say, you're full of greatness. Greatness. Time you opened up your eyes, you were courageous. Courageous. If only they could see you going through your paces. It's amazing.